One of them wanted to be the security guy. He claimed he was a security guy.
Welcome. Okay, ready? Watching dramas? You watching? Harold. Chuck Harold. Did you notice my black turtleneck? Did you notice that?
Yeah, I see.
No, what do you think I'm wearing a black turtleneck for?
I don't know. Black hat? I don't know.
Oh, well, that's a good guess.
I see.
That's
see?
Very good. All right, but it's close. What we're going to talk about today is technical surveillance countermeasures. All right, so we wonder why Mr. Trump is getting everything leaked, right? Mm-hmm. Because people go around, you know, doing this kind of stuff. So we're going to talk with our special guest today, Mr. Charles Patterson of execsecurity.com. Charles, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Now, this is a really cool subject to me. I've been around these things for a long time. I remember back in the day, is that the wrong camera I'm looking at? So I look like I'm looking off in the distance. All right. Sorry about that. I had a case, and this is going to kind of set the stage for this, and we're going to get into what you're doing in a second. But I had a case back in the 80s. Klein of Beverly Hills hired me. They had stuff stolen, information, data. They couldn't figure out what was going on. Make a long story short, we figured out that somebody was sitting outside his house in a car with some kind of electronic device reading the radio frequencies, microwave, something off his computer screen. And back then in the day, those computer screens were, you know, green, right? Old. I'm talking about late 80s.
Yeah.
And that was back then. So I can only imagine what people are doing nowadays and what a challenge it is to you. So give us a background on what your company does.
Well, yeah, as the name suggests, technical surveillance is any kind of surveillance that might take place by technical means. So it could be electronic bugs, whether that's transmitters, wiretaps. And these days, with computers, there's a lot of possibilities. Using Wi-Fi, there's a lot of opportunities for people to conduct some illegal surveillance. Again, sometimes just audio, sometimes audio and video, as well as trying to, as you mentioned, picking up vibrations from anything, able to transmit somewhere else. That becomes a threat, particularly any company that's dealing with important information, whether it's a large corporation, even just a small company, a lot of information that's exchanged in hands and being communicated that poses a risk if it leaks out, if it gets exposed in the wrong way.
Now, I'm going to give you the Academy Award for Best Security Guard Radio Webcam Picture Ever. Jarvis, is that the best picture or what? It's clear as a bell. We don't get them that good. What kind of camera are you using? No, wait a minute. This must be a secret surveillance camera you're using.
Well,
right?
No, I'm not even sure. I was almost ready to run out and buy another one just in your honor, but using what I got.
It looks fabulous. It really looks good.
Great.
All right. So now you used a different term. I was going to use electronic surveillance, and you came up with technical surveillance countermeasures because everything's not necessarily electronic.
Right.
Right? So break that down for us.
Yeah, well, everything has vibrations to it. Actually, there's an interesting, if people are watching on YouTube, if you watch Adam Savage, he had a thing, I think it was GE sponsored it, where they conducted audio through the Berlin Wall. And they were able to pick up the audio. Someone speaking on one side of the wall, the audio was conducted through the solid wall to the other side. A lot of things conduct audio, a lot of things conduct sound in that way. So it's not just a radio transmitter. It could be, in some cases we've found in an auditorium, for instance, it was a small auditorium for a corporation where they hold a lot of confidential meetings, perhaps discussing strategy and planning. There was a coffee break room next door. And while we were doing our inspection, and I was in one corner of the room, I heard voices. So I looked and I realized that the the heating vents by the window actually were conducting, letting sound through from the room next door. There should have been insulation in the wall preventing that from happening, but the insulation was missing in the heating area, and sound was coming right through. After our report, they did move the coffee break room, and they did plug the hole, so that helped.
All right, so let's talk about the kind of clients you have, because I'm thinking corporate espionage is your main group, right? That'd be your,
correct.
Your main client.
That's correct, yeah.
But who else can use this kind of information? I mean, municipalities, the police, are they behind in the technology nowadays, and they need guys like you to kind of bring that forward?
In a lot of cases, they are. A lot of times, if a client or anyone feels that they're being spied on, if they go to the police, the police may not know what to do. You know, even calling the FBI, I had a contact, the FBI cyber crimes division, and he mentioned that, you know, unless someone really wants to pursue it in court, there's not a whole lot for them to do. Once it gets to a higher level, for instance, I don't know if you remember Ford Motor Company, I think it was in 2015, they discovered recording devices were planted in conference rooms.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Right? I'm sure that was news that they did not want exposed, but it became a big deal. And it wasn't just, you know, the lady said she was just trying to take notes. It wasn't just for that reason, undoubtedly. One of the things that happens with a lot of corporate situations, they don't want the information exposed. You don't hear about it a lot in the news. You'll hear of cyber breaches that, you know, maybe affect lots and lots of customers of a corporation. But if something happens that's within confines and kind of kept under a little bit of control, they don't want that information getting out. It's a big concern for the stockholders, for the shareholders, for any kind of negotiations that might be going on. The information could be, could be very devastating if too much information leaked out.
So what is the current state of the industry, the business? When I say business, I mean the surveillance side and the counter-surveillance side. One of my favorite movies, it's going to be in the top three, is The Dark Knight, right? Batman.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And there's that scene where Mr. Fox turns on every cell phone in the city, makes them all a bunch of listening devices. This is all technically possible to do. I know nobody's done it yet, maybe, or they are doing it. We don't know about it. But are we really up against it nowadays?
Well,
where it's really not much you can do about it, or what?
Saying it's technically possible is, you know, kind of like saying, I don't know, that can man reach another galaxy, you know, or another star? Technically, there may be the possibilities. One of the things that, you know, sometimes I cringe a little bit when I'm watching some movies. I remember, I think it was in Enemy of the State, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. One. Right. That's a good one.
And somebody stops at a small, you know, mom and pop, you know, grocery, you know, fast food market. And within an hour, the NSA is there, collecting video from that. If you've ever worked on a video in a mom and pop deli, it's most likely that it's not working. And, you know,
yeah, it's true.
They're not networked together. You know, could it be done? Yes. Now, I do know that in some locations where facilities have IP-based camera networks, there are some cities where they're able to share these a little bit. A lot of the hype looks good in a movie and sometimes creates a little too much fear, I think, in some cases.
Jarvis, I'm feeling a little better because every show I feel good or bad about what's going on. So I don't feel as violated in this show as I usually do. All right, so let's talk about what it is that you do. Now, don't give away your secrets or anything, but tell me how you help a major corporation. You know, it's in the old days, I used to hire people like yourself. Well, maybe not people like yourself, maybe not as good. They would come in and sweep our executive boardrooms at the studios because we were always concerned about the other studios. You know, Jarvis, you'd think that why would they want to steal a bad movie? There's so many. Remember how Hollywood copies everybody's movies all the time? And I always wondered how they did that. And that could be part of the espionage going on in a studio business, right? But on occasion, we would find things. Usually it was in the sea level. They wanted to get information about where the stock was going and things like that. So tell us, just kind of walk us through. Let's say Security Guard Radio was very successful, and I'm giant now, and I have hundreds of offices, and I want you to come in and find out how Jarvis's radio station is interfering with me. How do you go about doing that? Oh, your microphone went off. Did we lose you?
There we are.
There we go. Sorry. Okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I got to watch that. Maybe Jarvis is hacking in there.
I think so. Counter surveillance going on here.
Try to keep an eye on that. We want to understand the background of why you're concerned. Is it, even a small company, many times we get phone calls from a small company. They may only have 500 employees or so. They call us up and they say, well, we never thought we'd need this, but we just fired our IT guy because there was some concern. He was perhaps dealing with a competitor or some other situation where they realize something happened and they want to move ahead with their business, but they're in fear. They're scared. You know, I like to think, and this is true for all security. The challenge in a lot of corporations is how do you sell security up to the executives, right? Security needs to be really viewed in a positive light. We're bringing something beneficial to the company. The company wants to move ahead, wants to move forward with its products, with its, if there's a merger going on or something like that. They don't want to have to live in fear. They want to move ahead quickly, so they want to know that things are secure. We want to help that, so we want to find out, why are you calling us? What's the concern? We find that there are three basic areas why people might call us. One is for regular inspections. You know, think of having a fire inspection of your facility. Is it because there's a fire? No, that's a little different. You want to know that everything's in good shape and that you're protected. Another reason is when there's a special event going on. A company's going to have a board meeting or a very confidential planning meeting. A lot of times companies meet in a hotel for a board meeting, so they don't have full control over what goes on in those rooms. And then a third category is actual incident response. And this is where they frantically trying to figure out what the heck happened. Some cases they hear maybe some news has leaked out on the internet, on a blog, for instance. We were called for a pharmaceutical company one time because information about something that was going on in the company was on one of the kind of pharmaceutical blogs that's out there for employees. They were quite concerned. The CEO was concerned and wanted to try and figure out where did this leak come from? How did it happen? What was going on? You know, and that's when they called us in for that.
So your company's not only doing the old fashioned, metal detector, electronic bug sweeper with the earphones and walking around, all that stuff. You're looking at this as kind of a comprehensive health of your company and your environment, because just because there's not an electronic bug doesn't mean that somebody's not using their camera on their phone or sticking stuff on their flash drive or other things that are now available that weren't available years ago.
It's true. And the other concern is just because there's a new threat or a new tool that the bad guys might be using, that doesn't eliminate the old threats. It's kind of like saying, oh, just because guns are available doesn't mean you don't care about knives anymore.
Right.
The knives are still a threat. So you kind of have to be aware of all these things. And it covers a lot of stuff. There's, the radio frequency sweeps are still a key element, because it's something, radio frequencies are things you can't see. You may not know that they're there, but something may be transmitting. So, we have certain tools that we use for that, sophisticated spectrum analyzers. And we still have some of the simple, what you might call a broadband detector. You think of somebody just coming in and waving a wand around, that'll vibrate or let you know if there's a radio signal nearby. Those are still useful, but these days there's so many radio signals, you need to be able to look carefully at the signals and try to understand what is really either causing the signal, where is it coming from, what type of signal is it. You know, you have radio controlled light switches now in a lot of places, so you have to be able to differentiate that.
Well, that's a good point. I just bought a I thought I would have it delivered today, but thank you, Amazon.com, for your special delivery that didn't come today. It's a it looks like a phone charger plug, you know, for USB plug, but it's a camera, and it's got audio and video in it, and you plug it in the wall, and, you know, from the video they showed as a demo, it looked pretty darn good. And, I mean, there's so many devices out there. How do you differentiate between something that's malicious and not malicious?
Well, of course, one is we got to keep up to date on what's out there. I think I know exactly the kind of charger you're talking about with the camera in it. It's a great security tool, but it's also so small and so easy to use in an unauthorized way. One thing that helps pick up cameras really well is thermal imaging. That's one of the tools that we use frequently. You know, one of the photos I think you had scrolling by there shows there was a camera hidden above this closet, and without the thermal camera, you almost can't tell that there's a hole there. But the thermal image shows that there was a hot spot.
Oh, interesting. The camera was hot.
The cameras are hot.
Yeah.
That's one helpful thing about cameras. They're usually quite hot, and you can spot them. So even looking at, for instance, a charger that's plugged in, you want to see where is the heat coming from. Is it, you know, is there a specific spot? Also looking at, you know, looking for a hole for a lens, some things like that. Those are some of the other things you look for.
So how do you get a handle on the coordination of the data with social media, right? So it used to be the big thing at the studio were keyloggers, right? I could plug a keylogger in that looked like an extension of your keyboard cord for the back of your computer.
Right, it looked like a little, you know,
a little extension. You wouldn't know the difference. Yeah. And if you weren't technical, you'd have no clue. And it recorded every keystroke you did. And all you did was walk to that computer and put a password in, and boom, I saw everything you were doing. It was a great tool, actually,
right,
which we didn't use. We didn't use those at the studios, just in case somebody wants to sue me. But then I had to do something with that data, and I had to download it. I had to print it up. I had to look at everything and read it. We didn't have, you know, Facebook to go, boom, let's put that on a social media page or upload it to WikiLeaks or something like that. Are you finding now that this is happening more, where the data is being maybe not even collected? Maybe it's not counter-surveillance. It's just an employee that says, hey, look at this photo of Mickey Mouse and Michael Eisner. I'm going to put that up on Facebook because I can. Does your company work with that kind of thing? And how do you guard against that?
We work together with a lot of investigators. We don't do the investigations ourselves, you know, investigating the people. But we will, you know, work together with investigators to try to understand what was going on. Obviously today, the cyber threats, and so many other, computer related concerns are vast. And they require a specialized understanding and a specialized approach to any network. So, you know, we're not going to come into a company and just suddenly hop into their network and start to figure things out. We want to sit down with the IT people and with the telecom people as well to try to understand, particularly where do you think the threat was coming from? Where do you think the problem was originated? You know, one of the cases that we worked on was involved the voicemail. Everyone came to work one Monday morning, and they all had the blinky red light on their desk phone saying they had a voicemail message from the CEO. Of course, everybody listened to the message, all 300 employees, but turns out it was a message, a copy of a message of an irate caller cussing out the CEO for 5 minutes. Very embarrassing for the head of the company. They wanted to know what the heck happened. We got together with the telephone technicians for the company, and we were able to track things back. We discovered they had recently fired an employee who worked on the telecom, who was very familiar with how the whole voicemail system worked. A couple days after he was fired, he called into the system. He did this all without a computer. He did it just by telephone.
Oh.
Called in by phone, was able to hack around the system just on the phone, found that the CEO's mailbox had the default password on it, and started listening to all the messages in the CEO's box, and eventually found a message from an irate caller that somehow got transferred to him from 3 months prior. It was a 3 months old message that they just never deleted. So they never deleted the old messages. They had the default password. He found it, and he knew there's a feature called broadcast. You can broadcast a message, which is what he did. He then, you know, sent that message to every person in the company. And a little bit embarrassing that Monday morning when the boss came in and, you know, everybody had that message there.
What's your biggest threat right now in the business? What are you most worried about? I'm always worried about less the Russians and more the weird guy next to me at work. I'm more worried about the weird guy. Russians, you know what? They're going to do their thing. That's a state-level thing, not what you can do about it. But are you finding that most of the problems are internal or external as far as the threats?
I think it's across the board with all aspects of security. It's an internal insider threat is the biggest concern. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the most serious in terms of, you know, what the attack from China or an attack from Russia to the nation could do something quite devastating. But within a company, you're going to find a lot of it's coming from employees, even executives, who just, they want to get ahead, perhaps, or perhaps they have a grudge. You know, traditional disgruntled employee, either he thinks he's going to be a whistleblower, and perhaps it's nothing that needs to be exposed, but he just thinks he's going to become a hero and tries to find some information, you know, whatever it might be, and thinks he'll be able to post it online or whatever and be another Edward Snowden.
How do you put a dollar amount on this kind of loss? You know, the FBI used to say that 85% of all laptops are stolen by employees internally, right? And you can say, okay, that equals this many laptops and that equals this much money. But in this business, can you put some kind of price on losses for companies? Because it's intellectual property. It's not tangible.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I know there was a Panera Bread suffered a leak of a press release, and it was worth $1 million to the guy that stole it.
Somebody paid him $1 million to steal it, or sold it?
He got caught, but it was going to be, I think something was going to happen for about that much. This was, again, back in 2015, I think.
Yeah.
I heard recently that there was expected among the cost of cybercrime within, you know, a year or two is going to be over $6 trillion. But they're estimating, you know, the cost of recovery, the cost of loss, all kinds of costs. The trouble is when you get it, when you're talking in trillions, that's a little bit beyond most of our comprehension, you know?
Yeah.
And it's tough. You know, a challenge for a lot of companies is they want to claim something to be a trade secret. But if that information is stolen and they want to claim that it was a trade secret, they're going to have to show and prove that they took security measures to protect it.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting point. So you get a lot of calls about things after the fact. We don't need no stinking counter surveillance, and they don't pay you to do it before, and all of a sudden something gets stolen and everybody's, you know,
correct,
scrambling, yeah, to get it done. So yes, then if it's already stolen and taken and you didn't classify it, then you're kind of out of luck for protecting it.
Yeah, it limits your what you can do in terms of, you know, pursuing the case. You know, a lot of people may not realize if you have a patent on a product, your patent is public.
Right.
Anybody can read your patent, and it gives you certain rights. If you have a trade secret, you want to keep it secret. But if someone walks away with that information and you want to charge them with theft of a trade secret, if they say, well, gee, we had no reason to think that it was a secret. That leads to another thing is company policies. Oftentimes employees are not informed enough about the value of what they're dealing with, the seriousness of it, and that they need to take it, you know, they need to consider it confidential. You know, so that's another important aspect in that regard.
So walk us through a typical day. You walk in, just kind of give us an oversight of a company that has a budget. They have big problems. What are you doing for them? How are you kind of starting to look at the lay of the field, and how are you handling that?
Yeah. Well, if possible, we'd love to have a floor plan. That helps, because we want to see where are the areas, where are the major concerns. Sometimes people will call us and say, listen, we have a facility, it's 28,000 square feet. You know, how long will it take you to sweep it? But, you know, we'll come back and we'll say, well, we probably don't need to inspect your entire facility. Let's start to narrow this down. Where are the conversations taking place that are the most serious? Where do you have the most confidential meetings? Or in the case of an incident response, where was the information discussed that you feel was lost? Then we'll start to realize we're talking about maybe five offices, maybe three conference rooms, and we start to get a handle on the space. We'll come in, we'll want to, first, we're going to take radio signal readings with a spectrum analyzer. We can take readings in multiple places. Now the equipment's, you know, fairly sophisticated. We're able to load a lot of data into a computer, run some comparisons with some of the traces that we got. We can start to narrow down where are signals coming from, and are any of these signals suspicious? Is there anything that we need to pay closer attention to? If there's a strong signal, is it coming from, you know, office A, office B, or is it perhaps something outside the building? Maybe we're near a radio tower. That's part of it. We want to look around at anything that might be, you know, producing a signal like that. Then we also want to start to go through a list, you know, methodically of lots of different tests. We got the, you know, I mentioned the thermal imaging. That's an important test. We'll look at ceiling tiles, walls, floors. You know, there's heat, you know, in places that you don't expect. And then we got to investigate it further. Another tool that's the kind of the stereotypical sweep tool is the nonlinear junction detector. That's what you mentioned. It looks like a metal detector.
Yeah.
And you see movies of the Secret Service and they're waving something, you know, up across the wall, and they're moving this. There you go in the picture. That detects electronic components, even if they're not turned on. It kind of beams out a little radio signal, and it detects harmonics or reflections of that signal coming back. There's some things that give you false alarms, but when you get a hit with that, you want to investigate, why are we getting a hit? It can look, you know, a little deeper inside, if there's something hidden inside a book, if there's something buried in the woodwork, then we'll need to look at that. And another area that's important, of course, is the telephone lines and the wiring. You know, if the telephones are of a serious concern, we'll even go to the extent of dismantling the units, looking inside, doing comparisons to see that the circuitry has not been modified or compromised in any way. At one trade show I went to, they had an example of a Cat 5 cable, just a regular data cable with an RJ45 plug on the end. But inside the RJ45 plug was a microphone.
No.
Using a spare pair, because the Ethernet doesn't need all the eight conductors that are in the wire. It technically needs only two pairs. You know, gigabit may use an extra pair or two, but you can still get away with having a spare in there. Put a microphone inside the cable that can run all the way back to the patch, through the patch panels, back to the IT room, where it could be, you know, picked off and then either used for recordings or hooked up to a transmitter in a different location as well.
Were they plugging that into a competitor's trade booth or something, or what were they doing?
No, this was at the trade show was actually a demonstration of surveillance equipment.
Oh,
it was
cool.
In Europe. It was the Millipol is a fascinating show. This was held in Paris. It's every other year. It's held in Paris and I think in Qatar.
Hey, I think we lost your mic. Did it fall or something? Because you dropped on your sound just a little bit.
Uh-oh.
You pulled it up a little bit.
Are we there?
Yeah, that's better. I think that's better.
Okay.
All these countermeasure things, Jarvis. I'm not really sure. Okay. Who's listening here?
Well, it's a challenge these days because there's so much technology everywhere we go.
Well, the thing I told you at the beginning of the show with this guy picking up radio frequencies off a screen, that's old school technology. But
I remember because when I was first starting my business back in 96, I remember sitting in my office and I had a TV that was mounted on the wall. Of course, it wasn't a flat screen TV. It was, and suddenly I'm looking at it and I'm seeing a copy of my computer screen on the television.
Oh.
And if I clicked on something and saw something open up on the screen, the same thing appeared on the TV. That's kind of, I guess, that's known as a tempest. Looking at the picking up radio signals and then interpreting them as something else. People have been doing lots of experiments, and we try to keep aware of a lot of these things. For instance, even detecting typing on a keyboard, what the sound is like. If you using a computer, if you can map everything carefully enough, you might be able to translate the sound of somebody clicking away on the keyboard, and you might be able to turn that sound into a transcription.
Yeah, because an A key sounds different than a B key. It could.
It could, yeah.
Right.
It may not be 100% accurate, but it's, when you get into military concerns and, high-level government concerns, they pay close attention to all of these things. On the corporate level, the extent of the threat, the possibility is still there, but we have to consider the potential in terms of how we best, make use of our time.
Well, sounds fascinating. I mean, one reason I love radio is I just love sound. I just think it's just amazing to me, right?
Yeah.
And I've read some things where, the work on the Kennedy case, Kennedy assassination, where they've looked at the tapes and the sounds and that. And then there was an ancient Greek jar they found, and technically they could play sounds off it because a record is just an imprint. In plastic, but it could also be an imprint in clay. And in theory, if somebody had imprinted a sound on this, through soft clay, can play things back. It's amazing stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing how they can do all that kind of stuff. What does the average person have to worry about? I don't like these little drones that can land on top of my house and listen to my secret security guard radio tapes or something. I mean, there's some stuff is so small that I don't think you even have to be a pro anymore to put some of these things out there. These little cameras and stuff.
Somebody gave me a little mini drone for Christmas, and I saw them at Sam's Club for about $10 after Christmas. They're on sale. And it had a camera. You could send it up. The more sophisticated ones are still not that expensive.
Right.
When we look at an office, for instance, we're paying attention to where are the windows facing. One major corporation, we were looking at their new facility they opened up in Massachusetts, and right next to one of the strategy offices, you look out the window, there's a nice courtyard, public courtyard where a lot of people would hang out, with their dogs, flying a drone perhaps. If the drone is flying by the window, it could have a very good picture of what's going on, what's written on the whiteboards, what's happening inside the office. One of the things that we do when we're doing a sweep, we're not just walking in saying, okay, we don't find any radio transmitters. You're all set. Goodbye.
Right.
We're looking for any kind of vulnerability that might be there. That's one of them. Do they keep their window shades drawn, particularly in conference rooms? Are the whiteboards clean? How about the desks? Some desks are not very neat, right? That's another concern. Cleaning crews come in. We've been in a number of facilities, and we're working late at night because they don't prefer not to have us there, during the day. And the cleaning crew is there at the same time, and there's a giant bin that says all confidential documents go here. okay. Yeah.
Brilliant.
We've seen some with the papers hanging out. One sweep we were doing for a major, major corporation, they were about to buy another company, and we looked into the shredding bin. You could see straight through and easily take a photo with, in fact, we took a photo with our phone to ship, put into the report. On that photo, you could see credit card information that was just lying there inside the to-be-shredded bin. So we always recommend personal shredder, excuse me, personal crosscut shredders for any office that handles confidential information.
Well, even for people at home, the crosscut's the thing to get. It maybe it's 125 instead of 90 at Office
at
Depot.
At least, yeah.
But that, you got to spend the money on it. It's worth it.
Yeah, if you're handling really confidential stuff, the microcut is a little is much smaller size and very hard to put back together.
But not impossible.
Not yeah.
If you really need it.
It's like they say, yeah. There's no 100% security.
Right.
Right. That's always the case.
So, let's shift it to like an average person's house. Do we think this is going on in people's homes now with their smartphones? With somebody getting into their internet, being able to turn their phone on, turn their TV on. I mean, everything's a computer now on the net. And do you find that this is becoming more of a problem? You know, less sophisticated. It's boyfriend against girlfriend, just, you know, turning his phone and putting an app on there and doing surveillance.
Yeah, well, there's the possibilities. Again, when we interview our potential client, we want to find out why they're concerned. A lot of the stuff you hear about today creates unnecessary fear. And for some people, that's a problem. They're not sure how to handle their fears. And they, you know, imagine that there's a lot of things going on that probably are not. One of the things we want to understand is, what do you think someone is trying to get? Are they trying to hurt you? Are they trying to harass you? Do you have something of value that they want, whether it's your, you know, perhaps a lawsuit going on or something like that? You know, we've had a few people that just come up with conclusions that just don't seem to, you know, make sense, you know. And unfortunately, there's plenty of websites that will support a lot of their theories, you know. You want to get out the tinfoil hat in some cases.
How would a corporate client know that hiring you is better than hiring the guy on the flashy website? What are some of the things in the trade to look for a legitimate countermeasures person?
That's valuable to understand. Some of it is the equipment that's available. You want to have, you know, top of the line equipment. Another is experience, how long someone's been working in the field. But one of our pluses for our company is this is what we do full time. You'll see a lot of websites that advertise that they do bug sweeps or countermeasures, along with a whole string of other things, from investigations and matrimonial cases and legal advice, whatever. And they, you know, also do bug sweeps. Chances are either they don't do a good job or they're hiring a company like us to help them out. And that's just good to understand. Are they hiring, are they bringing professionals, you know, to your assistance? As I said, we want to work with investigators. We want to work with attorneys. When we get a call from what we consider a residential client or an individual, one of the first questions we ask is, have you been in touch with your attorney? And have you hired an investigator? Partly because if they're serious about a problem, if we come and we find some electronic device or some type of eavesdropping going on, then they really are going to need their attorney involved to try to deal with the situation. And if we don't, and they do have a serious problem, then they may need an investigator because there may be other things going on. There could still be harassment. Quite often, even like I mentioned, the pharmaceutical case we were on, when we got there and we sat down with the security director of the company, he said, between you and me, he said, you know, he thinks somebody just blabbed, somebody just talked too much. He really didn't expect there to be any electronics. None of the executives would admit that, you know, they all wanted to say, oh, you know, somehow it leaked out. But he felt there was a good chance that somebody maybe talked, you know, too much.
Well, what kind of interaction do you have with, how do I describe this, with an attorney where he may not want you to proceed with something you're doing? In other words, are there certain legal restrictions you have in doing what you do? Obviously, the guy that's making an illegal surveillance is kind of obvious, but are you sometimes halted to say, you know what, you're not allowed to sweep for this or scan for this or something?
We try to pay close attention to any legal regulations, any concerns. If we want clients to sign not just a non-disclosure type of agreement, but they also have to affirm that they not knowingly under any kind of, you know, government or legal investigation, and that that's not why they're hiring us. We have had occasions where an attorney who used to be a former prosecutor said, listen, there might be something going on. We don't want to interfere with it. We don't want to touch it. We just want to know what's happening. We had to work closely with the attorney to make sure we're not stepping out of bounds in any way. You know, if we do find a device, it's not going to, there's no, you know, very unlikely that it's going to say on it, hey, this device belongs to the FBI, please return to the address here. But we still have to pay attention, you know, and if anybody seems a little shady, you know, that's another reason why we want to talk to the attorney. We want to make sure that everything's legitimate and above board.
You got a favorite case? Something you just didn't expect to find and you said, wow, look what we found?
Well, one of the cases, which you have one of the pictures there of a microphone in a ceiling, we sort of expected to find it. What we didn't expect was that on the microphone, there's a sticker which came from a spy shop in Manhattan. This was a case, it was a stock brokerage firm. The microphone, actually, I know on one of you had a guest from Leroux Electronics a while back.
Yeah, right.
On your show. Leroux makes that microphone. It's a security grade, high quality microphone for use in parking lots or some area where there's a need to monitor.
Gunshot detection, yeah.
Yeah.
They're right here in North Hollywood. Great company. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were called in. An executive was under suspicion of finding some information. It was a stock brokerage firm. Turned out he had planted a microphone in the ceiling where audits were done by the SEC and the NASDAQ officials. And he was, you know, recording their conversations. So he got fired. We were called in. We found the microphone, disabled that. When the attorney then took our information, including the sticker of the spy shop, went to the bookkeeper for the company, they found that the executive who had done this bought that microphone from a spy shop in Manhattan using the company credit card. And, you know, Leroux, the microphone is not an expensive microphone. It's a quality, $300 or so for a whole kit.
Right.
The receipt from the spy shop was $3,000.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. Adding insult to injury for that company. But they were glad to have it out. They were glad to get rid of it.
Charles, this is really, really fascinating. So, Jarvis, we're going to rate the show. Are you more scared now? I'm a little more scared. Oh, you're a little less scared. It's kind of on the border there. I mean, people like Charles are doing a good job to find it, but it seems like there's a new device coming out every day. All I care about is people listen to Security Guy Radio, and they can listen any way they want with secret devices or cameras, whatever they want to do. That's fine. Charles, give us your website.
It's execsecurity.com, and we have our blog is there, execsecurity.com/news. You know, we post every couple weeks or so, and Twitter is execTSCM. As well.
All right, excellent. Charles Patterson, execsecurity.com, technical surveillance countermeasures.
Yeah. Electronic sweeps.
Excellent. Thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio. Really appreciate it. And you know, give us a call when something hot comes up or a hot case or something.
Yeah, very enjoyable. I love talking tech.
Yeah.
You know, call me up anytime you have a question either.
Great. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week. And a couple announcements. Remember, Security Guy Radio Studio is almost up and running. Right down the hall here. You're going to check it out at livestream.com/SecurityGuyRadio. And you can see our additional shows on our other network. All right. So tune in next week, and we'll see you. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.